One secure, like he trusts. Yeah, come on, you can give honor where honor's due. Pastor Bill, we love you. I know he's watching this, and it's just so awesome to know that we got an awesome senior pastor who's going to take some time to fast and pray, get recharged, and get some fresh vision from God. So my request this morning, and really the whole month, is I'm asking y'all to pray for our senior pastor this month while he's on sabbatical. Pray that he gets refreshed. Pray that he comes back just recharged and refueled and with fresh vision for the future of Victory Church. And it's just so powerful and dynamic when God's people pray for their leadership. It's a biblical principle. You know, it's taught in the Word of God to do that. But we reap so much rewards on our side, knowing that we got strong, godly, blessed leadership in place helping us grow in our relationship with God. So I encourage you, please, during this month of encouragement that we got going on, be praying for our senior pastor. And that's what this whole sermon series has been about, is encouragement. This whole month where we're focusing on encouraging one another. And our theme verse, you can look in your notes, is out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And we shared a lot about this last week. The message was, last week, hold on to hope. So it starts off talking about that. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. What hope is that? That's the hope of salvation. That's the hope of Jesus' return. That's the hope of being with God for eternity in heaven. The early apostles called it the blessed hope. The blessed hope. And in fact, the context of this whole verse in the book of Hebrews is the writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage these Jewish Christians to not abandon their faith, because they're being heavily persecuted, to not be discouraged because of what's happening to them under Nero, the leader of Rome at that time. He's heavily persecuting the Christians. And these Christians are getting discouraged, and they're being tempted to just go back to the Jewish custom, the Jewish law, the old way of doing things. But this writer is saying, don't do that. Hold on to the hope. Hold on to the hope. For he who promised is faithful, that's God. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I'm going to focus a little bit on that. Spur one another on. You know what that means? If you study the Greek word there, and I can't even pronounce it because it's Greek, but if you study it out in like the original Greek, where your Bible was written originally in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek language, that's what your Bible is written in originally. So you look to the original Greek word there, and it literally means to spur someone on, means to incite, to provoke. How do you know, like, nowadays in media, it seems like the fringe groups get so much attention because they're inciting people and provoking people to all kinds of crazy ideas and even violence. I mean, it gets pretty crazy, but they get all the media coverage. What would happen if the media would pick up on a fire-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing Christians who provoke one another to acts of love and good deeds, who we provoke and incite one another towards that? Can you imagine what that would look like if it becomes such radical Christianity and generosity and acts of love and kindness towards others that it literally changes the whole narrative of media? Yeah, I thought about that this week. Why not pray for that? Why not believe for that? Because guess what? The early church was that way. And the government they were noticed. That's why they were so heavily persecuted. They were noticed. Radical acts of generosity and love. It literally means, that Greek word, to sharpen each other. Can you imagine us being just sharpened tools to pierce through the veil of darkness and let God's light shine through? I mean, that's what that word means, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. No, we're not going to give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing, it won't be our habit at Victory Church. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day being Jesus' return. So this week's message is called simply Love and Good Deeds. Love and Good Deeds. Why should we be so passionate about loving and doing good? You write this down. This is the most important reason, because God is love. Go and write that down in your notes. God is love. That's your first fill in the blank. Because God is love. That's why we should be so passionate about it. It's part of his nature. This is who he is. You cannot separate love from God. He is love. He embodies it. It's part of his nature. In fact, 1 John 4:8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, people are looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Look, I'm not going to sing it, but what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. That's people's concept of love is so twisted and skewed because they've been hurt. Because the world has this cheap imitation of God's love. It's not even based on selflessness and God's character. It's based on just selfish motives and what you can get out of the relationship and like, what are you going to do for me, right? It's just a fake imitation. It doesn't even come close. That's why people are so confused by love. Or they write songs where they say, what is love? What is love? What does love really look like? I love Scripture. I love the Bible, God's Word, because it actually describes and tells us exactly what love looks like. Take a look in 1 Corinthians 13. It says this, love is patient. Ah, that's what love looks like. It's patient. Love is kind. Yeah. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Another translation says it doesn't demand its own way. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Come on, that's amazing. Gives you the power to forgive people. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The love of God loves truth, rejoices with it. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Love never fails. Now, we know that God is love. And this is what I like to do when I read this verse. Since God is love, let's put God right there. Because this passage is really a description of God's character. If you're willing, our goal for every Sunday service is to help you know God and know him better. This is a great passage to get to know God, to just meditate on. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He doesn't demand his own way. He is not easily angered. Come on. Some of us have this idea of God being this big God with a big, paddle to spank you when you do wrong. It's like, no, he's not easily angered. He does discipline us, but he disciplines us out of love. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He forgives us. When he forgives us, he wipes away all that sin. God does not delight in evil. He rejoices in the truth. He always protects. Come on, somebody. He always trusts. What? He trusts. Yeah, he trusts us to do what the church is supposed to do, to be his hands and be his feet. He trusts us to do that. He always hopes. He has a hope for every one of you. He always perseveres. God never fails. Amen. God never fails. But you know what, as Christians, even though we come to know God, and to know God really means you come to know his love, right? As Christians, we can very easily drift away from love. We can. We can become bitter, especially if we're feeding on social media. My God, help us. If we're feeding on this crazy news cycle, it's 24/7. And really, you look at all the news articles, and it's like, I hate reading the news nowadays. I hate it. There's like nothing good. Nothing good. I pray for our journalists in our country to get a revival. Yeah, amen. If that's your profession, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. As Christians, we can easily drift. But here's the thing. You got to know this. I was praying about this week. Every time, how can we drift? Every time God doesn't be number one, like, to know God means we're like putting God first. He's number one in our hearts. There's no other God before him, right? But so many times, stuff can inch their way up. Our marriage, our kids, our profession, right? Other things can take a higher priority in our hearts where we're putting our hope in that thing instead of in God, right? Whatever it is. And every time God drops from number one to number two, or to number five, or to number 10, or falls off our list, our capacity for love decreases. Because he is love. And in our hearts, if we're not placing him number one, we're falling short of our ability and capacity to love. That's a powerful concept to realize. Also, you can write this down. God gives us the ability to love. So like I said, if you keep God number one, he'll give you the ability to love and have that full capacity for love. 1 John 4:19, it says this, we love because he first loved us. Praise God. We love because he first loved us. Like, he was the one who initiated it. I like to think of love as, like, it means you're going to initiate it. You're going to make it right. And God says, all right, whole world's in sin. I'm going to step forward, and I'm going to make this right. We love because he first loved us. It's a good tip to husbands, too, in your marriages, because the Bible says to love your spouse as Christ loves the church. So if you ever have a dispute, this is what happens in our home. Lelaine and I are not perfect. We have disputes and disagreements, and there are times when, you know, with two little kids, a two-year-old and a three-month-old, things get kind of crazy, right? And sometimes we may not realize it, but we may snap at each other or say something. It's like, huh? And it's like, or we may have a disagreement about something. Okay. So do I just say, oh, she didn't respect me? And I put a wall up in my heart, and I refuse to love her? No, love acts first. So I go to her, and I don't wait for her to come to me, even if she did something wrong, and she knows it. But even if she did something wrong, I go to her, and I say, listen, I'm sorry for what I did. And I apologize, and I love you no matter what. Let's talk about this. And every time, it ends with a nice kiss. I love it. I love it. And a big hug. And I love it. And we reconcile. Love acts first. It only takes one person in the marriage to step out and make it right, really. And then hopefully it's reciprocated, all right? So hopefully it gets reciprocated. But God gives us the ability to love. He does. I love this in Romans chapter 5. It says this, and hope does not disappoint. Come on, we talked about holding on to hope last week. Why? Hope doesn't disappoint. Now, this hope, it's not just hope in government. That will disappoint you. It's not just hope in your job or your boss or even people, because people will always fall short. It's hope in God, and it's hope in salvation. It's hope in seeing Jesus one day in heaven, spending all eternity with him. That hope, the salvation, the blessed hope, it doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Like, we have this assurance by the Holy Spirit that God loves us. It holds us secure. It anchors us. That's how powerful the love of God is. And I encourage you this week, when you take these notes home and you meditate on it in your quiet time with God, just picture your heart as this, like, vessel. And I even hold out my arms to represent it. And I say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pour your love into my heart. I guarantee you, if you pray and ask for that, you're going to experience something dynamic and powerful. His presence is going to fill you, and he's going to give you this supernatural ability to love people, crazy people. He'll give you that ability to not, when you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off, to bless them instead of curse them. Come on. When someone's just taking too long in the checkout counter, like, why are you writing checks nowadays? Everything's digital now. You can say, God bless them. How, God bless them. I love them. I pray that they have more than enough to pay for what they got paid for. If not, how can I help them? Crazy, radical ideas of that, generosity. That's what love can do. I wish I could have had time to go over Ephesians chapter 6. I was this close to putting it in your notes. There wasn't enough room. But man, it talks about Paul was just encouraging the church, saying he's praying for them. He's praying that they would have the power of the Holy Spirit. But not just power to do miracles, but power to understand and know the length, the width, the depth, the height of God's love. That you may experience the fullness of God. Like, that's his prayer, and that's been my prayer for you guys this week. So that you would experience the fullness of God. You got to ask for it. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to pour that love into your heart. Third thing you got to know about loving good deeds. Good deeds, and you can write this down, are a demonstration of God's love. They're a demonstration of God's love. It's very practical. It's this outward expression of love when we do good deeds. And God set the example in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. How did he do it? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what an incredible notion. That while we were sinning, rebelling against God, he says, I'm going to die for you anyway because I love you. We shouldn't, our love should not be conditional. I'll say it that way. When we extend love and we do good to others, it shouldn't be conditioned on whether they're going to hold up their end of the bargain. You know, Christ died for the whole world. And even Jesus said that there's going to be many that don't receive him. There are going to be many. They're not going to follow his ways, and they're going to do their own thing, and many are not going to receive him. And that's a very, can you imagine just how heartbreaking that must have been for Jesus to say that? Because it was true. But he still died for them. And no matter what people do or say or how they act, and no one's perfect, we can show love to them. Because love and good deeds demonstrate God's love. We can be good and show them good. Do acts of kindness. I love this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says, may the Lord make your love increase. Not just increase, but overflow for each other. All right? That's in the church. But catch this. And for everyone else. Like, that's the world. For everyone else, may your love, like, increase and overflow. Like, this love that's inside of us should overflow to where people feel it and experience it. And you do it by doing good to them. By being kind, by being patient, and by serving them. Just as our love does for you, like this was Paul saying this, and the apostles, and man, if you read the book of Acts, they were radically generous. Radically generous. And they did so much good. It caught the attention of everyone in their community. That's really the heart behind Serve Day. It really is. That's the heart behind Serve Day. And you can start putting that up on the screen for me because, like, that's the heart, to show people love. The Association of Related Churches, that's the association that we're part of as a church, is designated July 14th as a National Serve Day. And it's where people in their church are the hands and feet of Jesus. They get out of the community, they wear these red Serve Day shirts, and they just serve people. They serve them practically. And it's just amazing. So we've partnered with our association, and we're going to partner with a group called CCC, Christians Concerned for the Community. And inside your worship guide is an insert. And I encourage you, pull it out. It was so awesome talking about this last Sunday, and 27 people signed up for Serve Day. Praise God, that's awesome. 27 people. Thank you for signing up. And many who didn't, I know you got to work that day, and I get it. I love you no matter what. But if you're free, here's what we're going to do. So we partner with CCC. CCC does great things in the community where they find projects where, like, elderly people or disabled people need ramps built or stairs built, or they just need work around their house, or they need painting done. It's just practical needs, right? And they get those projects, and they find out, and they partner with other churches in the area to make it happen. So when I found out about them, I was like, we got to partner with them. They're already boots on the ground. They already know the needs in the community, and let's connect with them. And here are some potential projects that you can do. Yard work, painting, building ramps, stairs, small home repairs. And here's the thing. Even if you're not, well, you may say to yourself, well, I can't physically do all those things, or I'm not gifted in those areas. Listen, we need people to pray. We need this bathed in prayer. Right? We need people to intercede and pray leading up to it. And we need people there who are ready to pray and minister to the people that we're actually going to connect with and serve, because there's going to be a group of people that are serving over here practically with the physical things that need done, but other people need ministry to their hearts and to their souls, and they need that one-on-one interaction. So if you got the gift to pray with someone, if you got the gift to be able to just gab and just talk and just be friendly, I encourage you to use that gift and sign up. Sign up in the church lobby after church. Look at this last picture. Just imagine, like, our whole church being out there. We're huddling. We're ready to serve. We're an army of red shirts washed with the red blood of Jesus. Come on. We didn't actually dye them in blood. That's weird. But, no, it's like, but they're red, and we've been washed with the blood of Jesus, right? Our sins are forgiven. We're ready to serve people in the community. We're ready. Oh, I just love it. So we're looking for prayer warriors. We're looking for conversationalists. We're looking for helpers. Anyone who's going to, if you got just two hands that you can just steady something, or you can bring a bottle of water to someone who's working really hard, or, you know, it's like, oh, we need to move this from here, and it's not that heavy, but I need an extra hand. Just helpers, people who are just there to help. Builders, yard workers, and team leaders We have one team leader that signed up. Listen, if you're a person who, you're a direct personality type, you're driven, you don't mind bossing people around in love, come on. If you're that kind of person, you're that kind of leader that we're looking for, because it's going to be a lot that we got to do and we got to coordinate. So I encourage you, step up and lead. And it's not going to be that hard, come on, to just say, hey, come on, we got to do this, and then get people moving to where they need to go. We need some leaders for projects. So if God's laid it on your heart, go and sign up and do it. If you have any interest at all, any interest whatsoever, sign up. Good deeds are a demonstration of God's love. Oh, such an opportunity. Such an opportunity. Now, in the weeks leading up to Serve Day, and really, I was praying for a message that would help prepare us and our hearts for it. But really, this is preparation for life. It's not just Serve Day. Like, we want this to go beyond July 14th, but we want it to go and reach our community, our spheres of influence, our potential church. Because our potential church is everyone in our spheres of influence who don't yet know God, who don't yet know Christ, and who are not connected to another church. And that's our potential church. So we got to prepare our hearts. So we got to have hearts focused outward is what I'm saying. And there are four keys. I want you to write them down. Keys to keep our hearts focused outward to our community, to our spheres of influence. And this will help you, because here's what the devil likes to do. He likes to distract us with all the busyness of life. He likes to tell us that all of the problems that we have are too great and we don't have time to think about other people's problems. We're too busy. Come on. That's true. It happens to me every week. And every week I'm challenged to not ignore the person that I see next to me who's in need, but to somehow reach out in love. Somehow reach out and make a difference. Somehow. But the devil wants to distract you, so here's what we got to do. Here's what he does. He tries to keep our hearts focused inward on our problems, on our situations, on our circumstances. But I'm going to challenge you. Look beyond your circumstances to the God who's greater. Write that down. Number one, focus on God's greatness. Focus on God's greatness. Like, we serve a God who is great. He is powerful. He loves us. He's a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. He loves us so much. And whatever problem we're facing, and it could be massive, it could be weighing on our hearts, God is way infinitely bigger than that problem. You got sickness, he's bigger than sickness. The name of Jesus is above every other name. It's high above the name of cancer, the name of addiction, the name of unforgiveness. Come on. He's way, way bigger and high above. He's great. We will have obstacles, we'll have struggles, but we got to look beyond our circumstances. And listen, the more you focus on the greatness of God, the smaller your problems become. Oh, that's good. You should tweet that. Listen, the more you focus on the greatness of God, the smaller your problems become. It's just God loves, it's so awesome. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about how great God is. In fact, there's a psalmist who wrote Psalm 145, verse 3. He's overwhelmed too. He says, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." Our minds can't even comprehend how great God is. We can't even measure it. I'll give you an example. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this is a popular scripture for a lot of Christians, because it's so encouraging. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And you go, oh man, that makes me feel all warm. Praise God. That's great. God causes all things to work together for my good. Awesome. You know that there are 7.6 billion people in the world? 7.6 billion people, all with free will. Think about this. God causes all their decisions. When we make a decision, it affects other people. 7.6 billion people and all their consequences. Talk about just unknown variables, 7.6 billion unknown variables to this equation of causing everything to work together for good. He doesn't cause everything. Evil is caused by the devil and by our selfish and prideful nature in this world. Every good thing comes from God, but he causes all things to work together for our good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's how great God is. that he's capable of doing that. So what's your problem? What's our problem? Have faith in God. Trust in God. Focus on God's greatness. Second key to keeping our hearts focused outward is this. Focus on God's freedom. Kind of heard a theme this morning, didn't you, with that last song that we sang in worship with Betty's testimony about the Freedom Group? Freedom that God gives us is so important. So important. The devil will try to remind you of your past. He does it all the time. Even in the weeks leading up to Serve Day, he's going to condemn you. He's going to tell you, oh, you screwed up this week. Oh, you're no good. He's going to try to remind you of your past. You know what I do when he reminds me of my past? I remind him of his future. Come on. And I tell him, Satan, okay. First of all, I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. That's my future. But you and all your demons and little imps are going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's no fun to think about, is it, Satan? My past has been washed with the blood of Jesus. I'm cleansed. I'm free from all that sin. I'm free. I'm free. And I'm telling you, you give the devil a black eye every time you say it. Every time you remind him. And you kick him down to the curb. Who are you trying to attack? A son of the Most High God? I'm part of the family of God. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You got to focus on your freedom. Look at this, John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. So he's encouraging them, listen to what I'm saying, listen. Don't just focus on the do's and don'ts, listen to the heart behind all this. Listen to my teaching. Then you'll really become my disciples. Listen, our mission as a church is to win souls and make disciples. This is so key. You don't become a disciple by just learning a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. You become a disciple by learning the heart behind everything that God taught. Okay? And it says, after you hold to his teaching, after you commit yourself, become more of a disciple, it says, then you will know the truth. That's what opens you up to revelation, the Holy Spirit revealing to you truth. And the truth will set you free. And it goes on to say, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That encourages me so much to know that no matter what I do, there is always forgiveness available and that I am free. You say, well, Pastor Mike, you don't know what I'm struggling with. Declare it. You're free. Pastor Mike, you don't know how many years I've... You're free. You receive it by faith first. It has to be received by faith first. And then... the more you believe it, the more it becomes part of your actions and your speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, is what Scripture teaches. You're free. And I declare it over everyone here. You are free. You are free. You are free. Man. Galatians 5:13 says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That's your calling, every one of us. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So once you're free, all right, don't roll in the mud again. Get out of there. And like, don't give in to selfishness and pride again. Don't give in to like this religious do's and don'ts. Like, get the heart behind it all. Rather, and here's the heart behind it, here's what you can do. Serve one another humbly in love. Humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled. Here's the heart behind it in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So on Serve Day, we're going to love our neighbor. Come on, we're going to love the people in our community. We're going to love them. We're going to love them. That's the heart behind it all. Third key to keep your heart focused outward, focus on God's gifts. Focus on God's gifts. 1 Peter 4 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To serve others. Come on, you can do better than that. Serve others. Serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So what do we use? We use the gifts that God's given us. That's really why it's so important to understand how God has gifted you. How can we love people effectively and serve them effectively if we don't know what gifts God has given us? That's why we have our discovery class every month. That's the heart behind it. Because truly, like, our job is to be equipped to serve. And God's already gifted you, but you got to discover what that is. Maybe you already know, but if you don't, you can sign up for our discovery class on the back of your connection card. And it's the first Sunday of every month is what we're trying to do. Keep it to that schedule and keep it regular so that new people who come to the church can immediately start discovering how God created them. And if you don't know your gifts, if I ask you right now, what are your top three spiritual gifts, and you can't answer me right now, you should come to Discovery Class. You should. And we'll feed you, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we have a good time. I mean, it's really fun. It's really awesome. We tweaked it along the way, so if you had a bad experience, I don't know what happened, but I'm sorry. But we tweak it all the time. We're always trying to find ways to improve it, so it may be even better for you this time. Just saying. So I encourage you, find out what your spiritual gifts are. Focus on them, because spiritual gifts are designed to minister to others. They're designed to minister to others. All right, I'll wrap with this, the fourth key to having your heart focus outward. Focus on the needs of others. You got God's greatness down. You know God is great, right? You know you're free. You got the freedom down. You believe it. You know it. You've learned about your spiritual gifts. You know God's been gifting you, and he's giving you some power to use it, okay? Now what do? Now you focus on the needs of others. Jesus told his disciples to look out into the world and look to the harvest. And what did he mean by that? He's not talking about corn and wheat. He's talking about souls. He's talking about people who are dying and hurting, and they're on the way to hell. And he's saying, listen, the harvest is plenty. There's plenty of people. They're just waiting for someone to go out there and to minister to them and to love them. They're in need. They're waiting for someone to just practically meet a need and share tie the gospel to it. They're waiting. And he commanded us in that scripture to say and pray and ask the Father, the God of the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest. My constant prayer is that Victory Church would be known as laborers in the harvest field. That we'd be known as people who, if we focus on the needs of others, we have our hearts focused outward. And I love this passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, it's in your notes. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. Now, you got to understand this about leprosy. He was, according to religious law, he was ceremonially unclean. Jesus was not supposed to touch him. And they were, if you had leprosy, you're basically like an outcast in society. But he was begging to be healed. Maybe you're here today and you don't feel clean. God's ready to cleanse you. He's ready. The man cried out. He said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. That's what he said. Look at this. And I'd encourage you to write this down, this next verse. Moved with compassion, like underline it. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. He touched the untouchable. The people in society that everyone says, no, you don't want to go minister to them. Jesus said, yes, I do. He was moved with compassion. That love overflowed in compassion towards that person. He reached out and he touched him. And he said, I am willing. I'm willing to heal you. I'm willing to make you clean. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Praise God. And you know that God said that these signs that he did, these same signs you shall do, and greater. And greater. Because he went to be with the Father and he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down to you to empower you to do these incredible things. And I'm telling you, when you step out in faith to minister to the needs of others, you're going to experience God's power flowing through you. And you will see miracles. You will see miracles. You will see miracles. Can you imagine just a whole church going out into their community, praying for people's healings, praying for people to be set free from their addictions, praying for people, ministering to them, serving them, touching their hearts, focusing on their needs. It's just awesome. Let's be a church that has our hearts focused outward. Amen? Amen. All right, bow your heads. Let's reflect on this, and it's decision-making time. This is the part of the service where we open up our hearts to God and we just reflect on what we've heard and we say, God, help us. We can't do anything apart from you, God. But through you, we can do all things because you strengthen us. And by the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your love, O God. Fill our hearts. And my prayer for everyone here, if you feel unclean, God wants to cleanse you. No matter what you've done in the past, it doesn't matter. God loves you. And if you feel unclean, God says, I want to heal you of that and cleanse you from all that shame and guilt. And what he does is he washes your sins away and he makes you like just white as snow, like there's no red there. There's no red in your ledger. There's no darkness there. It is washed away. It is washed away. If you never experienced that cleansing, that forgiveness of your sins, that's why you're here today. Or maybe you have in the past, but you know you're not where you want to be with God right now. You know you've made a lot of mistakes. God wants to cleanse you and forgive you right now and to get you back on track. Here's your opportunity. So if any of those two apply to you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in boldness and say, that's me. Count me in. I want to pray to receive that forgiveness and that cleansing. And if you would be so bold right now, raise your hand right now. Let me see. I see you back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Now's the day. Thank you. I see you back there. All right. Okay, lower your hands. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me. Fill my heart with your love, with your Holy Spirit. I surrender my life. I'm yours. You're mine. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Would you give God praise? Say amen to that. Just give God praise. That's so exciting. Congratulations, man. Those who pray that prayer, you're part of the family of God.